One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I am your host, Paul Machin. I'm joined by Chris Pajak. We've just done the first fan zone commentary here on the channel. If you've been with us on the live stream the whole time, you're absolute heroes. Thank you so much.
We made it difficult for them.
What?
We made it difficult for them.
Oh, yeah, we had them jumping all over the place, jumping through hoops. Just wanted to check if people were paying attention, Chris. Three different streams you had to set up for various technical issues, so thank you if you stuck the whole thing out. If you're just joining us, if you're watching this after the fact, welcome. It was Everton 0, Liverpool 0. And Chris, look, the general tone of the comments and the reactions, this is going to be a negative one because I'd forgotten, because I haven't really done the comments too much this season in particular. And of course, Liverpool had a 93% win percentage at this point going into this game. It is disappointing. I think there's no other way to kind of phrase that. It's Everton. It's the Merseyside derby. You want to beat them at every given opportunity. And also, we just want that title sewn up. There's no escaping that Liverpool, a draw in this position, and particularly given the way it was achieved, is disappointing.
Of course it's disappointing. It's disappointing because we've watched this team for the rest of the season and we know that, you know, heading into this game, we'd won 27, drawn one and lost one. Now, if I tell you that our record this season is 27 wins, two draws, one loss, you'd still bite your hand off for that, wouldn't you? But 100%. The fact of the matter is, because we've seen us win 27, draw one, lose one, we know that we're better than Everton. We know that we're much better than Everton. Mm-hmm. And because of that, you go into it with a load of confidence. Now, this is an extreme circumstance. None of us have been through this before. The players certainly have never been through anything like this before. Yeah. Right in the middle of the season, so they get a pass for me today. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean to say that I can't look at the game objectively and say we weren't good enough to win that game of football.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen people go, and inevitably, because it's funny, there's a sliding scale. It's the people who watch it and talk to you about it. There's then Twitter reactions, and then obviously YouTube comments, which are just generally absolute insanity. But you know, I've seen people go complaining like the profligacy or not creating chances and not scoring goals. I'm not sure. I mean, I think Salah makes a big difference because he's our top goal scorer. He's probably our best player, you know what I mean? I mean, there's plenty of examples of Liverpool great players, but he's the guy who wins us the most football matches by scoring the most goals. Not having him does have a detrimental impact on what we're doing. But this notion that I'm not sure Klopp got the starting 11 wrong. So let's kind of focus. We'll talk about this because I think we did get the substitutions a bit wrong, or they certainly did, as you pointed out earlier. I'm not sure the improvement. Let's start with the team that started. See, people talk about the depth of Liverpool. I think any team that's missing its first choice left back and then missing its top goal scorer, there's always going to be a bit of a drop off.
Yeah, of course there is. I think you can add into that the fact that we didn't have our first choice centre half partnership available either. Is that a defensive four that we've seen this season? Or is it a defensive five, if you include the goalkeeper? I'm not sure. Maybe it is, but maybe it's not at the same time. It's certainly not one that's played loads and loads of games together.
Well, Robbo's only missed one game this season. That was Bournemouth before the lockdown. So odds are...
That's Matip wasn't playing, and odds are Joe Gomez was. And I think, you know, it's a midfield three that hasn't played together very often. You know, Fabinho's played a lot of football earlier on in the season, but he was missing for a large portion as well. And Naby Keita, as you mentioned during the stream, hasn't played a lot of football, hasn't started a lot of games for us. And it was a front three that have never played together, as far as I'm aware, in the positions that they were in. You know, Minamino, I'm pretty certain, hasn't played on that right-hand side for us. And, you know, for as good as Bobby is, and he's one of my favourite players, for as good as Sadio Mane is, I've said this time and time again, the front three is the front three for a reason.
Yeah.
They dovetail off each other. They play well. Their levels go up because the other two are there with them. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take time to build relationships up with somebody like a Minamino in that front three. So it didn't surprise me that we weren't at our attacking best. I didn't think we would be even if Salah was starting because of the fact that we've missed 100 odd days. Yeah. So it's a very difficult situation. But, you know, as you say at the start of that, you know, no first choice left back, no first choice goalkeeper, no first choice centre half. And yet, we had the most of the ball. We had the most of the possession. Mm-hmm. We didn't test Pickford enough for me. And that's the real thing that, you know, for all the changes that were made, for all the substitutions, the one thing throughout the 16 players that played, they didn't fashion enough good chances.
Yeah. I think the only issue where Liverpool, you can argue, is a lack of depth is that left-back position. But again, James Milner, and he started the game well. You know, he's up around the final third of the pitch. He's linking play. He's tiger as he's going into tackles. He obviously picks up a yellow card pretty early on. But he's doing James Milner-y things. You know, he's a perfectly capable understudy on that left-hand side. But when he then goes down, well, who else have you got? And the issue we've got is that beyond that, Joe Gomez can play left-back, but the same way he can play right-back, but he's a centre-back. He just happens to be quite good on the ball. And I thought he performed admirably, as the only way you can analyse when a player plays that far out of position in that regard. But it's interesting for me, the two subs that did us were the enforced ones. Because I've fundamentally got no problem with bringing Ox on for Minamino, because I get why it was done. You go a bit more direct, you've got a bit more pace, you can kick balls into channels and chase them down and stretch the game a bit more. Gini plays every game for Liverpool, so there should be no issue with him coming in. The issue was, of course, that Keita was playing really well, but we'll talk about that. And again, for me, you know, you want to get him up to speed. Origi's out of the forward, but in having to put Gomez left back, that upsets everything we do. That upsets our balance completely. And then in having to bring Lovren on for Matip, you've lost the ability to bring Salah into the game. Mm. Your first and your last subs have completely upset probably what the game plan was meant to be.
I think so. I think, you know, we hypothesised about it. Maybe at the start of the second half, I'll bring in Salah. Maybe it was in the first half, I'll bring in Salah off the bench. You know, I mentioned the Adama Traore substitute for Wolves yesterday, and how that had an effect on the game. And I think Liverpool were probably planning something like that. Now, two injuries in the game, it's disappointing, but we know we've seen a lot of injuries picked up over this first few games of football and the restart because they haven't had the pre-season that these players need to get up to the level of Premier League football. It cuts our legs off almost, doesn't it? Because I think that was probably a game plan that Jürgen was on for. But that being said, you've got to roll with the punches.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you why Mane was put into the number nine position when Origi's there.
Yeah.
I don't understand that one at all, because Origi didn't do anything from that left-hand side.
No.
And Mane didn't do anything from the number nine position. So then we ended it when we're looking for a goal with Origi on the left, Ox on the right, where he hasn't played there a lot at all. He's been playing centre midfield for us, and Mane centre forward. And again, fundamentally, that's not even, like, I'm not saying they go out there and they have to try and be the front three light or whatever, but that's not how Liverpool play football. So you're now asking a team that's chock full of players playing out of position to go and break down what was essentially a really solid two banks of four from Everton.
Yeah, it's easy for us to throw the banter around, and you know we have and we will, and it's great fun to laugh at Everton, and it has been for a very, very, very long time. There's probably a number of people watching and listening to this who, you know, weren't even alive, you know, when Everton last won a trophy or whatever, which I just thought I'd drop in for shits and giggles. But Carlo Ancelotti is an amazing manager. He's a guy who knows us really well, and he's also a guy who's had 3 months to prepare for this game. But whatever that looks like and whatever that means, you know, he's had 3 months, whether that's necessarily in terms of how he actively sets his team up, because Klopp's had 3 months, and Klopp's a brilliant manager, and he's had 3 months to look at this too. I think it's easier to plan to stifle than it is to plan to create. And all you've got to do is, you know, that Atletico Madrid match is still the most active recent evidence of how to play and how to cause Liverpool problems. And you just, you know, and I think they got the game plan spot on. If that was a Rafa Benitez performance against a better opponent, you know, and they defended resolutely, all their last gasp tackles, and they weren't even last gasp tackling necessarily in like the 6 yard box or whatever. They were going to ground to cut off the passing lanes. They did that brilliantly, and then they created a couple of really, really, well, they had three really good opportunities. They have the one in the first half from Richarlison. They have what he has one the second half as well, doesn't he? And they've got the Tom Davies one, Calvert-Lewin, as well. It's their game plan was fine. I think Carlo Ancelotti deserves credit. You can, Everton are a good team, Chris. I think the fact that they were 12th in the league and the fact that we've laughed at them for ages kind of belies the fact that I actually, and I said this for weeks, it wouldn't shock me if Everton had a good end of the season here, because I think they're probably better than people give them credit for.
I think they are, and I think you're right. I think Ancelotti did have a good game plan against us, and I think we all knew what it was going to be, and they enacted it really well. And you know, it tells you it's a good game plan when we knew what was going to happen and we still couldn't win the game. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we shot ourselves in the foot slightly today. And that's disappointing for me, and I can't get past that. And I'm not throwing the baby out the bathwater. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a good performance. Like, even if you do individually, you know, you were sat sort of in the room when I was doing my player ratings. It'd be interesting to find out what you thought of everybody as well, individuals. Mm-hmm. There wasn't many. And when I say standout performers, like for me, Keita was standout. But he was standout of a pretty average bunch.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Nobody's... I don't know, nines or tens.
No, I think I might have gave 2 8s, Naby, and maybe the goalkeeper.
I think the goalkeeper definitely, and it's tough with Naby, isn't it? Because again, he looked bright. I really like Naby, and it was tangible how much worse we were without him on the pitch. But again, I'm not sure anyone really played above a 7 in the whole thing. But again, Trent ended up being, but whether it's that he had a poor game or he was well stifled, I mean, he's a fullback. He's 21 years old. I think people need to remember that you're not going to get world-class performances in him on every single kick of the ball, every single performance that he puts in. But there are other people. Again, Fabinho hasn't been right since he came back from injury. Jordan Henderson's been much better than the DM in the back half of the season. And again, you can't know. This game for me was absolutely worth throwing Minamino in. And it was absolutely worth throwing Fabinho in. And it was probably worth throwing Matip in because, you know, we're going to rotate. We're going to need to keep players fresh because you mentioned they've not had this pre-season. We're going to see, I think all the teams are going to do this a lot more than we realise. We're getting players back up to speed whilst also trying to perform a season at the same time.
Absolutely. And look, the difficulty I think we've got as fans watching this game and trying to sort of analyse it and all that type of stuff at the moment is we're so used to seeing Liverpool go and win and being in form. So for us to sit here and say, and you just said there, and I agree with you, by the way, about Fabinho, you know, probably hasn't been great since his injury and since he's come back into the side. We've not seen what's happened since then in that last 3 weeks when Liverpool have been... He could have been on fire, you know, in training. And we know Naby's been on fire in training and probably deserved the start. Yeah. And it maybe just didn't work today. Yeah. Maybe it's got nothing to do with how Fabinho was after his injury. Maybe he's back. He just didn't perform today. But the difference is we're in such a strange position because we've not seen the team play that we're measuring them against themselves. Now they're not going to be the level that they were fucking at before the break.
Yeah, it's for me in the Fabinho thing. You're right. It can be both. It's just not his game. I always reference that Sheffield United away game, and we just didn't need Fabinho in that. You needed someone who was more comfortable striding forward with the ball. Who was prepared to be a bit more direct in his passing. And Fabinho can do that in some ways, but there's no shock. I think, you know, Man City, and maybe this is one of the reasons why, is that like for that Man City game, it could end up being that looks like it's going to be a title decider. You want Fabinho in that game because you need him for games against Manchester City. Like he helped, you know, he kicked it off at Anfield, scores that absolute banger of a goal. But I think I've long held this theory. His injury was really well timed because we got all the big games out the way, and Henderson is fantastic against teams that have got who don't want to be ambitious against you, because you can afford to put your DM can afford to play a few more give and goes, can afford to burst into midfield a little bit more. And realistically, this was probably one of those games. But again, Klopp has said this all along: he's not putting his lads out for the next two games. Yes. He's putting his lads out for the next 9 games. Yes. And it's annoying when, because, but the thing is, Liverpool Liverpool results and Man City results, and I mentioned like Bayern Munich. These are all mutually exclusive events. How Man City have reacted to their first game back has got nothing to do with how Liverpool... It doesn't make it more or less likely for Liverpool to come back and gel and play well and what have you. It just doesn't. So if we're going to benchmark against other teams, then we're going to be disappointed. But you're disappointed. We're disappointing ourselves if we choose to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think the pertinent point you made there, and the one that stand out really is about he's not planning. Klopp's not planning for two or three games. He's not planning for this season.
We are though, Chris. We're all going. Yes, we are. Get the two games. Get your first treaty. Get them won.
But you've got a 3-week break or 4-week break maximum in between the seasons here. Yeah. So let's say we're right. Let's say Fabinho hasn't been the same player. Mm-hmm. Well, he needs fucking games. It's better to put them on, like, I'm not being funny, right? Yeah. But the title's really not on the line. You said title decider. It's a title confirmer,
yes,
potentially against Manchester. It's not a fucking decider. It's somewhere near a decider. Yeah. So get your fucking lads up and ready.
Yeah.
Because we know Fabinho's going to be the player that he was at the start of the season. Yeah. Maybe he just needs a bit of game time to get there. Now you've got games that don't matter.
Yeah.
Because we're going to win this title. Yeah. So get him fucking up in speed for next season. Yeah. And when the season starts, that's when you can judge Liverpool. Right now, it's about getting over the line.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Let's be perfectly honest on that. If anyone wants to go down the comparison route, I'm not saying necessarily, I've seen a couple of people saying, I'm not saying if you're watching or listening, them talking about you expressly or whatever, but I would much rather have had Arsenal as my first game back. And that seems counterintuitive because like Arsenal higher in the league. And
I think they lost two.
Yeah. but obviously Arsenal were held in higher esteem. I think people do. I said this before, a bit disrespectful of Everton. They've probably got the third best manager. You know, and I'm splitting hairs on that. Klopp isn't necessarily a better manager than Ancelotti. Pep Guardiola isn't necessarily a better manager than Ancelotti. He's an elite level manager, and there aren't many of them in the league.
There's three in the league.
Yeah. You know, maybe Mourinho. I know he's had his day, but you can't argue against what he's achieved and what have you. Yeah, you know, to be churlish, but you get my point. I think Everton are a good side, and it was demonstrated there they caused us problems, and we probably should have lost. And that's one of those things where rather than be disappointed at what the game wasn't, be happy that it wasn't worse. Because you know the good thing we're in an incredible position. And why any notions of throwing the baby out with the bathwater are pointless, because we're so far ahead in the league. We haven't got here by accident. You don't construct the season that Liverpool have by accident. If you do it by, look, you can be a bit lucky and you can get the rubber, the green and blah, blah, blah. That's how you win it when you're Leicester. You need a lot of other factors to go your way. Liverpool have been so utterly dominant that Liverpool drawing the first game after a three-month break against their derby rivals away from home, against the Carlo Ancelotti organised side, on the scale of things to get annoyed about, that's not ranking high for me. And we've got this base knowledge underneath it that says we're probably going to be all right. It might be, you know, there's a spell of games left now. Liverpool are just going to tick it up and get back up to speed and win it. But yeah, it would have been nice ultimately, Chris, just to be able to come back with a win, because we've waited this long. It does make it feel a bit disappointing, but that's again on us, not on them.
Listen, I'm disappointed because we didn't win against Everton. I'm disappointed because we didn't put a great performance in. I'm disappointed because, you know, we've drawn a game of football. Yep. I always am. But when you step back and you look at what we've gone through and what the lads have done so far this season, you can't be disappointed. Mm-hmm. It doesn't in any way, shape or form taint what the lads have put in so far. And it won't do. Oh. The fact is, we didn't get beat.
Yeah,
that's another good thing. Mm-hmm. And Alisson's been brilliant again in that. Mm-hmm. We didn't have our first team out, and we didn't get beat away at Everton. You know, we've played our first team away at Everton the last two seasons and drawn fucking 0-0 with them. So you know what? Listen, I can take it on the chin. They had a good performance, Everton.
Yep.
They've got a good manager. They've got good players. You're right. They're not the 12th best team in this league. They're probably a little bit higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
But Liverpool are the best team in this league, and we will go on to win the league.
By an absolute mile. Thank you very much for checking out the Instant Match Reaction. If you're watching live, you're amazing. Drop a like right now. You can join up for memberships. We're going to be doing a full final word show. For those of you who are new to the concept, it's 45 to 60 minutes, always near 60 minutes, after every single game, analysing the game with a full panel of people. Normally, it's done in the room. We're going to be doing this one with a wider spell of people as well. It's always good fun. Always good to kind of chat through things in a bit more depth and detail, having had time to digest what the match has been and the fallout and all that kind of thing. Watch. But you can now get that if you subscribe. If you subscribe to the redmenTV.com, you get it. You get all of our additional content. That's all the back catalogue. Loads of great interviews with Liverpool players, past and present. And we've got like the Reds News Roundup. There's the Around the League show. There's loads and loads and loads of brilliant stuff. But if you just want the Final Word show, you can join up on YouTube memberships. Tier 2 members get all the emotes, but they also get access to those two Final Word shows, or the Final Word show after every Liverpool game as well. So you've got loads of options to support the channel and to get brilliant Liverpool content in your face and ears all the time as well. We will be back on Wednesday. If you want more on YouTube, we will be back. Don't you worry. The Fan Zone Watch Along is coming back. The game kicks off at 8:15 against Crystal Palace. We will be live doing the show from 7:45. Jump in the stream a little bit earlier for all that. We'll hopefully have all the kinks ironed out by then. Thank you very much, Chris. There you go. That's a perfect example. Welcome to Itchy and Scratchy Land, where nothing can possibly go wrong. We've had a great day, apart from the results. But yeah, we keep on fighting. We'll see you all soon. Ta-da.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.